All right, we'll go ahead and continue with Arizona coach Rich Rodriguez. The Wildcats are home hosting Oregon State on Saturday. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
To ask Coach a question, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Kurt Krickthorpe, Salt Lake Tribune.
Rich, your defense improved so much the last couple of years. What has kind of happened the last couple of weeks, and what's fixable about those problems?
Well, some of it's the obvious injury factor. When you get hit at one position, it's probably tougher than if you had guys at multiple positions. And in particular for us, I mean, it sounds like I said in the press conference yesterday, when you're losing, and sounds like excuses when you're winning and say injuries, it's just logic. But the two of the guys that got hurt were also guys that we played in some of our different defensive fronts, our four-man fronts, and so it's like losing four guys instead of two guys. So that's been the first issue, and then certainly we've not executed well, not tackled well, not gotten off blocks. So yeah, everything is fixable from scheme standpoint. I think obviously from a health standpoint, we just got to the guys that are in there just got to step their play up.
Thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from the line of Kyle Kingstein, Athlon Sports.
Kind of a general question for you, Coach, but with your team's kind of ranking highly and going for it on fourth down, do you have a specific philosophy on when you want to go for it on fourth down, where on the bat nature?
Yeah, it's generally the most obvious ones when you cross the 50 and you got a manageable fourth down. That's usually an area that we think about four down territory. Certainly when you cross the 40, it's always going to be four down territory with any manageable fourth downs situation for us. Outside on our own 50, that's a little bit dicier. You know, we've done it before with fourth and very short, but it's generally for us crossing around midfield and fourth and manageable, we'll consider it pretty high.
And in terms of going forward in the red zone, is there usually kind of a specific marker that might be the cutoff if you're in goal situation?
Well, it's that's a good question. I think, one, it's usually the score, how your kicker is kicking, you know, how he feel about his confidence with the kicking, and if there's any weather factors, and then certainly how confident we feel, being able to execute and get a fourth and short, fourth and one or two, and if we've been running the ball well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from the line of Daniel Uthman, U.S. Today.
Rich, how's it going?
Okay, thanks.
Hey, are you a believer in having a quarterback succession plan in your program?
What's that again? I'm sorry. A quarterback that what?
Are you a believer in having a quarterback succession plan in your program, or is it just, you know, whoever the best player is year to year, it's sort of always a competition?
I think it's always a competition. Inevitably, if a quarterback starts and plays well, you expect him to play even better the following year after he has that experience, and so he's harder to beat out. But, it's not for us. We don't treat it a whole lot differently than every other position. We tell our guys our competition is not just yearly, but weekly. And sometimes that sounds like coach speak, but for us, we really believe that if you're starting on Saturday, maybe you're not starting on Tuesday. If you're starting on Tuesday, not on Wednesday. And I don't want them looking over their shoulders worried about every mistake. It's not that way, but at the same time, you know, we just try to every year recruit guys that compete with the starters that we have coming back.
Is it possible to avoid an occasional dip, or is that just part of the game?
A dip, I think it's probably inevitable. If you have a guy that's really, really good and, you know, one of the best in the country at his position, the next guy up, you hope he has success, but it's always going to be a little bit harder to maybe achieve that, because those great players, everybody wants great players all the time at the same position every year, and sometimes that's hard to get.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And your next question comes from the line of Stephanie Lowe, Seattle Times.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Okay.
I was curious to say, what are the pros and cons between calling plays from the box and calling plays from the sideline, and do different personalities lend themselves to each role more?
Yeah, it's I've been mostly certainly from the sidelines because I've been a head coach most of my career, but I've is when I was an assistant for 4 years, I caught it from the box, and I think it's easier from the box. You see the field a whole lot better, of course, and sometimes you can remove the emotion and it's easier. But I think you get a better feel for the game, particularly tempo wise, when you're on the field. I'm fortunate that I've got a couple pairs of eyes and two of my assistant coaches, and Calvin McGee and Rod Smith, are in the box, that we've been together so long we almost finish each other's sentences. So they can see, and we all kind of think alike. So that really assists me in how we call our offense.
How about defensively? I mean, you're not a defensive coach, but like, do you think it flies the same way?
Somewhat. I think defensively, a lot of times, particularly from an emotion standpoint and from a teaching standpoint, it's good to be on the field. But I've seen it be successful both ways. And what you got to certainly do is have the guys up in a box, really do a great job of relaying what they see and what's happening to you in each and every snap. And having the experience working together helps in that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to ask Coach a question, please press star 1.
Any further questions for Coach? Okay, hearing none, that's it. Rich, appreciate your time today. Good luck this weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,